Wheelbarrow full of dicks, where the conversation will make your mother sick. One couch and alcohol with three fat guys. We say mean and crazy things, and one of us is high. Wheelbarrow full of dicks. Wheelbarrow full of dicks, where the penis jokes come fast and thick. We've been getting away with this for far too long. Join us Monday nights on RadioFubar.com.
Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. I am Mike, joined by my co-hosts, Napier, and via Skype, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Hello.
We have one hell of a show for you this evening, I think.
Why do you have to lie to these people?
I guess we'll see.
It's amazing. It's not live. It's so strange. Usually you're staring at that chat and seeing people say shit like, I don't hear you, I can't hear you, speak up, I think you're on a delay. And this is just the three of us.
We're just hanging out. Yeah. Not live this week. Typically, we are live every Monday night at 9, 8 Central on Radio Fubar. However, this week is unique in that we are just going to podcast. We don't really know how to get in the right mood. We've kind of grown accustomed to the live thing. We don't know how to podcast anymore. It's strange to us.
Yeah, we need to be stroked while we do this, or else it's not the same.
Well, I'm in kind of a weird state of mind anyway. It's been a weird week for me so far. We had a guest scheduled, and the thing is, I've gone back and forth with the guest. Now, keep in mind, this isn't like, I mean, we're not talking a Soundgarden here. You know, I had a band scheduled that I wanted to talk to because they interested me in a very specific way. That's where most of our guests come from. Our guests are typically people that either me or Travis are interested in learning about. They may not be interesting to everyone. They're interesting to us.
There's some facet of all of our guests that one of us has decided that we are interested in exploring.
Right. And so this particular guest is just really difficult to schedule with. And at one point, they gave us the option of midnight on a Thursday or 9 a.m. on Friday morning. And me and Travis said, yeah, no, we have jobs.
We're not rock and rollers. Yeah, we can't just do that.
You make it sound like they don't have jobs. They have jobs.
So when they gave me those two times, I said, no, we can't do either of those times. We have jobs.
Did you actually say we have jobs?
Yeah, I did.
You can't say that.
Why can't I say we have jobs?
Because it makes it sound like they don't have jobs.
They don't have jobs.
They do have jobs.
They have fun careers. They don't have jobs.
They have fun band shit. So anyway, yeah. I said, okay, we can't do either of those times. He said, okay, well, you know, I don't know when else we could do it. How about Thursday night at midnight? And I said, no, we can't do Thursday night at midnight. And I said, you know, if you can't work it out, that's cool. You know, he said something about being out of town for a couple of weeks if we couldn't do Thursday night at midnight.
If I can interject really quick, he had a very, like, white knight kind of reason why he couldn't do until, like, midnight on a Thursday is because they were like teaching children how to play instruments or something. Like the whole band was teaching children how to play instruments, and
so
they wanted to wrap up.
You know what, guy? If you're busy now, maybe we'll come back to this in a couple of weeks. And he said, well, I mean, this is really the last opportunity that we can do this. I said, that's fine. We'll come back to it in a couple of weeks. I'll email you in a couple of weeks. We'll see if you're free. I mean, there's no time constraints to when we have you on the podcast. We'll do it whenever. We don't care. And he says, well, I kind of want to just get this done. So what can you do over the weekend? You know, we're free most of the weekend. So all of a sudden, you know, it's like when you're mean to the pretty girl. And then all of a sudden the pretty girl's interested because you weren't hitting on them anymore.
Well, yep. That's their job. Part of their job is to do interviews.
Right.
You're asking them to show up on the weekend when they're normally off.
Yeah.
So it's supposed to be their time.
An artiste is never off. That is not a Monday through Friday, 40-hour a week job.
So
that
he came to me and said, can you do 10 o'clock on Saturday night? And I came back to – he emailed me at 3:30 in the morning. I got up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go to work, and I emailed him back and said, yes, we can do 10 o'clock on Saturday night. Let's do that.
Excellent.
So I had the time that they gave me, 10 o'clock on Saturday night. I agreed to it, and then he didn't reply to email until 11:30 that night. So, I mean, I was
He responded, actually? I didn't know he
responded. At 11:30 at night and said, oh, yeah, sorry, man, I didn't get this, you know.
I didn't get this 12 hours ago.
So I'm not going to talk to that person anymore. I think I'm just done. I don't care anymore. Like, my interest is gone. I'm over it. So at this point, I had this interview. I talked to Napier about coming Sunday to pre-record the rest of the show. I was going to take Monday off. I had plans. I was doing a family thing. And I was going to pre-record a show. We had this interview, and I was going to do a show with Napier. Travis, you couldn't come. Mm-hmm. And so I get up. We had scheduled to do the show at noon on Sunday. And so I get up. And I set up the whole thing, the whole setup. And so, you know, Napier's always late. Napier's known for being late. And so, you know, 10 after, I don't really expect Napier to be here yet because Napier's never on time. So why would he start now? So at 10 after 12, I get a message on Facebook from Napier that says, Mike, I'm running late. And I said, no shit, Napier. You're running late. I know. And so, I mean, that's 10 after 12. He's acknowledged that he's 10 minutes late on the time that we've agreed on. So,
not
I mean, like,
text, though. Not
Travis,
good text.
You're 10 minutes late to meet a friend at a time that you've agreed on. You know you're 10 minutes late. What do you do? You get ready and you leave, right? Because your friend is waiting for you and his time is somewhat valuable. Sure, right? His time is valuable. He's sitting around waiting for me. I'm being an asshole. I should get there as quickly as possible.
I didn't realize you had to put money in the meter.
So
I think if I acknowledge the fact that I was late, I would acknowledge it right as I was leaving my house over to where I was supposed to be.
So Napier lives 3 minutes from me. Napier, I mean, you could ride a bike to Napier's house. I wouldn't, but you could.
It's just the neighborhood.
You live 3 minutes from me. So, I mean, 10 after 12, he's already 10 minutes late. He acknowledges he's 10 minutes late. 20 minutes after that, I called him and I said, Napier, where the fuck are you? And he said, I'm arguing with Jim Goebel on Facebook. So I said, you're still at home? You're still at home. 20 minutes after you acknowledged that you're 10 minutes late, you're still sitting at home. And it's not even like he had a good excuse. It wasn't like, oh man, you know, I had to take a big poop or something. He's arguing with Jim Goebel on Facebook.
It seemed important
at
the time.
What was the argument about? Can I ask that?
Oh, yeah. What was the argument about, Napier?
You
don't even remember. You don't even remember what the argument was about.
It was about property laws involving businesses.
Do you own a business?
Nope. Neither does he.
So I told Napier to go fuck himself. And that...
No, you didn't. You gave me this pouty little, well, then don't come over anyway, and then hung up the phone.
I don't understand. And we talked later that night, and your excuse was, well, I'm always late, so you should just expect that I'm always late. And you shouldn't ask me to change, because that's just me. I'm just the guy who's always late.
Yes.
And that's such a stupid thing to say.
You said that exact same thing to me the last time you and me had an argument about how you're the guy that you've always been for years. And that
yeah,
you're
but
not
I mean, we're
change.
Talking about me saying stupid things as opposed to you being a half hour late. I mean, one of them is an inconvenience. The other is just me being an asshole. Me being me is one thing, but you like purposely like wasting my goddamn time.
You're at your house. It's not like I left you at a bar.
But you do that too. If like I
yeah,
will,
but with
if
your...
I if I'm scheduled to like have lunch with you or something, I will show up around the time we said we would meet. And then I sit there and I drink like 4 iced teas before you get there. It's shitty.
But I never leave you.
I've waiting around for you like I ain't got shit to do today, but sit at a goddamn Chili's and drink iced teas waiting for fucking Napier to show up. You don't have anything to do. You're sitting at home arguing with Jim Goble on Facebook.
Yeah, but I've never left you alone at a bar. You're at a bar with all of our buddies. Actually, with all of your buddies.
So you won't acknowledge that you showing up, you not even leaving the house within 30 minutes is shitty.
Oh, no, it is shitty.
It is shitty. You're a huge shithead.
I never said I wasn't.
You're the biggest piece of shit that ever existed, right?
See? But like he like won't apologize. He just assumes
I did apologize.
He just assumes that because he's Napier.
I apologized multiple times.
And Napier's late.
No, you still want to be mad about this, and I apologize.
That it's no big deal, Travis.
I've apologized multiple times.
Travis, I'm Napier, and I'm half hour late to things, so you shouldn't be irritated by it, because that's just what happens.
I never said you shouldn't be irritated.
You should expect Napier. That I'm going to be a half hour late and just plan accordingly.
While you're at it.
I never said that you should just expect it. I said I was sorry multiple times. In fact, when you...
So, it goes on, Travis.
When you hung up the phone in a huff,
listen to
right
this.
Before that, I said, I'm sorry, I'm a shithead, I'll be over as soon as I can.
Listen
and
to this overcompensation.
Said, no, don't even bother.
So
and then hung up the phone.
Today.
And he did say he was a shithead.
Napier got off work at 4:30. We planned to do this at 8 o'clock at night. Napier called me at 4:30, and he said, hey, Mike, I'm just calling to let you know that I'm driving to Chesterfield to pick up a hockey glove I ordered, and I'm probably going to be on time, but I might be late. So, I mean, what do I do with that? Hey, Mike, in 3.5 hours, I might either be on time or late.
I'm sorry, I was trying not to violently offend you with my lateness.
I'll either be on time or late, Travis. I don't know.
That's what I would take from it is either that he's trying to cop out way, way early, that he's not going to be, hey, I'm just letting you know 4 hours in advance that I'm not going to be there, or he's like feeling bad still about how pissed off you were over the weekend and was like, hey, Mike, just so you know, possibly, maybe, there's a slim chance that I might not be there on time.
Yes, there was an off chance I might offend you, so I'm calling you 4.5 hours in advance to let you know you may not like me tonight. I was calling to tell you, when I made plans with you, I didn't know this glove was going to show up. The glove showed up, things changed, and I informed you of it immediately when I left work. 30 minutes after they told me it was in.
We live in an age of technology. Why are you driving to pick up something you ordered online?
Because that's where it showed up at. I didn't order it online. I ordered it at a store. Oh, I had to go through a retailer, and then their goalie department guy had to, like, take all my information and my custom specs that I wanted, and he filled out this order form completely incorrectly and then sent it off to a manufacturer for them to make me something that was wrong anyway.
Oh, they fucked you. Don't do that. Don't order through a store. That's like going to a bookstore and be like, hey, do you have this newest novel by this guy? They're like, no, but we can order it for you. And then they charge you cover price. You know what I mean? Like $39 for a hardcover book.
Well, that's,
you know, you can go on Amazon and get that shit for like half that cost.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think you can order from them. You have to order through their distributors.
That's like, some bullshit.
You either order it from these people or you can eat shit and die. You don't deserve our goalie gloves.
I'd learn how to start stitching your own fucking goalie glove, Napier.
Probably should. This fucker ran me $500. I handed $500 over to the company in August, and today it's now mine.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a long way.
What does a goalie glove cost? Like a regular goalie glove?
About $500. They don't really charge you.
That's a lot, Travis.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Fuck.
Yeah, Napier buys a lot of things. And he buys top of the line things and then doesn't like them and then just orders more things. Napier plays hockey one night a week in like a pickup
league.
Games, and he's probably gone through like 10 gloves in the last 10 years.
No, just two.
That's a lot of fucking money for a hockey glove. I would think I could go to like a Play It Again Sports and get one for a lot cheaper than that.
Well, the thing is, I went out and I bought a glove for $250. I took it to this drop-in and somebody almost shattered my fucking hand. Like the entire palm of my hand was like bruised up and I could see like the bones underneath it almost. Dude just fucking wrecked my shit.
That is most definitely an exaggeration.
Okay, slightly exaggerated. Not that much. Every time I have to type on a keyboard for my job. If I fuck up my hand, I can't type.
Can't you put more stuff on your hand before you stick it in a glove?
Well, then I can't actually close it. Which is kind of weird because I ordered this glove and I told them I don't want to be able to close it. And they said, that's funny, and then sent me a baseball mitt.
Besides this conversation, I've heard from many hockey dads and moms that it's the most ridiculously expensive sport.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. Especially if he's a goalie.
And if your kid is actually good, if by the off chance he's decent, expect to spend at least $2,000 in tournament fees. Because that's the only way he's going to...
Yeah, not even just the equipment, but rink time is crazy expensive, too. So... Don't ever take your kid to a hockey game. Just pretend like hockey does not exist.
I'm going to because, first of all, to me, like, I know you guys are hockey fans and shit, but, like, it's hard enough to get excited about children's sports, but it's even harder to get excited about children's sports when there's only, like, one score every 15 minutes, if you're lucky.
Get your kids into soccer. Soccer's cheap as shit. You just get those little shin guards. That's it. And spiky shoes.
Yep.
And I mean, that basketball, you buy the ball.
But, yeah, you got a ball, you got an extra, and most of the time, they provide a ball.
Right.
So you don't even have to worry about that.
I don't think I'd want to play that around here.
Yeah, but where Travis is, he can get his
kid. Yeah, that's fine.
Lots. You see that high school game? Did I send you that story about that high school game that the coach got suspended because his team beat the other team 162-2.
Yes, you did.
There in hockey, there are mercy rules. Like if you get 10 points above the other team, the ref just calls it and said, "Yep, you won, dude. Game's over."
They were winning 162-2. That's what they ended at the half. He put in all of his secondary players. He didn't play any of his starters in the second half.
Yeah, players that haven't played like all year long.
Yeah. And they won 162-2. And then he got suspended for being an asshole and beating the other team that badly.
Maybe they should have suspended the other coach for putting that
for
fucking
being
team out
a
there.
Really shitty team, right? Yeah. I mean, like, obviously he's not doing a very good job. Like, okay, now every time you score in basketball, the play stops and the opposing team gets the ball out of bounds to play the ball back to their team.
Yeah, it's not so, like there's another face-off. I mean,
like, what did we determine? It was 162. Now, if every single one of their scores was a three-pointer, then they would have got like 40-something tries.
And it wasn't. Minimum. So it was a two-pointer, so essentially divide 162 in half. It was 80 times. 80 times, right?
Within an hour.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So they were given 80 times to take the ball and try to move it down the court, and they scored 2 points.
That's almost the same exact chance of them accidentally scoring.
Yeah, that's probably right. If you pulled up like a statistics log,
now, oh, yeah,
that is
you
probably
know what?
Legitimate.
If you gave me the ball out of bounds behind the one net, and I could just try to baseball throw it to the other rink the other side and try to put it in the basket, I bet if you gave me 82 chances, I'd hit a three at least once.
Especially probably. Against a bunch of little girls.
Right, right. I'm not even talking about playing the ball in. I'm talking about just chucking it from the other end and trying.
And usually in those high school, like they come half court back. You know, they let them throw their ball in most of the time, you know, and at least they might have one player down at the end, and then they let them throw their ball in, and then they just start marching down the court. They don't try to get it as soon as it's thrown in, typically. So that means most of the time, there's probably, at least out of that 80, there's probably at least 50 of those times they made it to half court with that basketball. So if you're telling me that out of 50 times, you couldn't just launch it up into the air and try to get into the basket before...
I mean, once you went up by 100 points, wouldn't you just start launching it?
Chucking it.
Whenever you got the ball, just throwing it at the basket and hoping for the best.
Yep. Over the shoulder.
Or just having everybody line up down at the end and trying to get it down to them, you know, for like a big Hail Mary deal.
Some crazy like play, some weird like you took the whole, there's one player and then the whole rest of the team forms a line across the court to block everybody from getting through.
Get creative.
Try to shoot a three. Yeah, you get
creative. That's part of playing sports is if absolutely. Something doesn't work, try something else. You work together as a team to figure something out. And if it doesn't work out, play the next game and try to do better and hope you don't play a game so good that they fuck you up as badly as this team did. But you don't blame that team for doing well.
There was a bunch of butthurt parents who are creating the worst possible kind of children that their children got done playing that game and their children got beat by 160 points in that game. And they, like, petitioned the school athletic board, and they said, this guy is a son of a bitch because my kid feels bad that they lost, and they shouldn't feel bad that they lost. They should feel good because they competed.
They should feel bad.
I mean, like, that's a good lesson for how the rest of your life is going to go, kids. Guess what? Sometimes you get fucking beat really badly.
They could have used this as one of those life skill moments where they just take the team together, including the coach. The coach is there too. I'm not dismissing their shitty coach. They all get together, the school athletic board, and they sit them down in a room and they say, oh, okay, ladies and twat, this isn't the game for you. You lost by 160 points. They could have scored 170 had you not been there. You shouldn't play basketball. That's not what you should. There is a perfectly good soccer team at that school. I guarantee fucking to you. They could play softball. They could play volleyball. There is probably a badminton team that a couple of them could just form. And then
and really,
they wouldn't have to worry about it.
If they were on that soccer team, all you need is like one decent soccer player where they play goalie, so they just stop them from scoring 82 goals in that hour. You know what I mean? So they're not going to feel bad. You don't want to feel bad? Let's play some soccer.
Yeah, exactly. One of them scored a point. One of them got something. That person's the captain of the new soccer team.
But I want to know what this... I want to know what this coach was supposed to do. He got suspended. This was all his fault. He pulled all of his good players that were scoring all the points.
Even if he didn't. Even if he didn't. He played the game.
That's the way to do it, though. Like, if you, especially in school sports, if you're beating a team that badly, you pull all of your good players and you stick all of the bench players that never get played. That's just how it works. That's what they do. But then all of your bench players are in, and you're still annihilating this fucking terrible team. What is he supposed to do?
What are you going to tell him to do?
Tell his players to go out on the court and put their fucking hands on their sides and just let them run past them and let them take 40 shots at the fucking basket because they missed 40 times in a row. They can't lay it up. They can't get it from the 2-point. They can't get it from the 3-point. But they're just going to let them rebound their own shot over and over and over again until they get it in.
Start throwing it in their own net.
Yeah.
More fair.
They rebound it themselves for the team and throw it in their own basket and say, oh, I scored on myself to make you feel good.
Whoops!
What the fuck was that guy supposed to do? He couldn't do anything.
Me and Mike have both been on teams where we've been mercied. We've been on the losing end of that.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing more embarrassing than the ref going to the players and say, no, we're done tonight. Come back next week and try again would be for the coach of the opposing team that's 100 plus points over your team to go to the ref and say, no, we're done. This is embarrassing for us.
We don't want to kill these people that badly.
I want to talk to the athletic board. Who put them here? Who told them that they should be able to play here? This isn't something that should happen. That has to be embarrassing for the coach of both teams.
Especially because what is he going to do beyond taking those good players out and putting his worst... Because if it's like any other school team, you never play those shitty kids unless you're ahead. So you pull them out, you put those shitty kids in that can barely make a basket, and it turns out they can make 40 baskets and destroy this piece of shit team that can't get a rebound, can't shoot a basket, can't take away a ball, can't block something. How is that his fault? He was teaching his children the fundamentals of basketball by playing this fucking terrible team. You know? He should be lauded as an exemplar, like, standard for coaching to teach his children how to play. Like, it was practice for him, you know?
Right.
Come on.
This teaches a life.
Both teams, to a certain extent, I imagine, paid to play.
Oh, they would have to.
I mean, both teams showed up. They both showed up in their jerseys to play. It's just one was considerably better put together than the other.
Now, this teaches a life lesson to the girls that actually did score 162 points. You should practice hard every single practice, run, eat right, learn the fundamentals of the game until you play an opponent that doesn't do that. You should just not play.
I feel there's a connection to be made with the other thing that you brought up, Travis, with the gals who were pissed off about the Biggest Loser.
The ones who signed up
now,
and then
Napier, there's a reality television show called The Biggest Loser. You've heard of it?
No, I don't watch shows about dieting. It makes me feel sad.
But you have to know it exists because it's a part of our pop culture. They have products everywhere. There's weight loss bars. There's fucking DVD workouts. You can't.
NBC.
I've seen promos for it.
Michael's chick that was one of the trainers for a long time.
The only thing I like about that show is that some of the broads got like walrus mouth where their vaginas should be. And I kind of like looking at it to see their big old fupas.
But there was an article that Travis sent me about there was a couple of contestants on The Biggest Loser who were complaining that they weren't treated well while they were on this show losing hundreds of pounds. Like, you know, it was hard. Like they were worked like
game show contestants.
They had to do like a lot of exercise and like eat food that wasn't delicious. And things of that nature. Were there other examples?
Well, and also they, I think they added in the fact that they couldn't call home and they couldn't talk to people, which any reality competition show kind of works like that, so you don't spoil it, so it can't get out on the internet before the episodes air.
There was one fella interviewed who said that he found out that a family member of his was sick, and he didn't go home to see the family member that was sick, not because the show wouldn't let him. Obviously, he's of his own free will and could go home. But he was afraid that if he did go home, the show would not let him continue to be on the show.
Well, yeah, that's kind of how that works.
And that's the show's fault for him assuming they wouldn't let him continue to be on the show if he left the show.
I think it's his fault for not loving his family member more.
Right.
No, dude, hold on. I know you're sick and about to die. I'm on a TV show where I could win a Lexus. Who the fuck are you to tell me I can't be on this TV show just because you have cancer?
And fuck you and your cancer. I'm going to be famous.
Well, one of the other complaints was that they were referred to as the losers, which is really funny because isn't the show called The Biggest Loser?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So they're called losers. It's what the show is. Yeah, you're supposed to lose a bunch of weight fast.
Yeah, if you're going on a show where you lose a bunch of weight and you're not aware that you're going to have to eat healthy and do a bunch of exercise to lose said weight, then you're a dummy.
I can see how you'd be upset.
You're a big dummy.
Maybe that's how they got fat.
If you jumped on the show The Fear Factor and then you talked to the media and said, they made me eat a bunch of bugs. They made me crawl into a tank that had snakes in it. And
well, they didn't make you do anything.
But I feel like
they told you that if you do eat the bug, then you make money.
But I feel like if I didn't do that, I wouldn't be able to be on TV. You know what I mean? So I think that I'm oppressed in the fact that if I didn't get into this tank full of snakes, maybe I wouldn't be on TV. So I think that's the show's problem, not mine.
And you know what? The entire time I was there, pretty afraid.
You know, the one thing that is a strike against The Biggest Loser, although it's really not, is the fact that Jillian Michaels, who was like they're one of their iconic coaches for, I don't know, that show's been on a lot of years, and she's probably been on like 90% of the seasons. She finally backed out of the show and said, I don't think that they treat the contestants very, very well. Which is funny because you've been on that show for like 8 seasons getting paid to be this coach, and finally after 8 years you say
she's cashing
out.
I
don't think these fat people are being treated very well because we're forcing them to work out for 8 hours a day,
right,
and not eat very much.
Maybe they should have thought about that before they joined a show that was all about rapid weight loss.
Yeah, like super fast. Like if you've seen the show, it's like, oh, this week this person lost 24 pounds. That is not fucking safe, and you should know that going into it.
Yeah, right. But you know what? Being gigantic isn't really safe either.
No.
It's all, no, of course not.
So, I mean, it's win-win, really. I mean, you're not supposed to lose that much weight, but, I mean, is it better than being a big, gigantic, fat person?
Mike, nothing tastes better than being thin.
That's not true. Lots of stuff is delicious.
No, that's the wrong attitude to have if you want to be sexy.
That's perfect. I'm like, for a while, like last year, we got a treadmill at home and I was running on that son of a bitch every day. And I was eating like green smoothies and shit. I've never felt better in my life than I did at the beginning of last year. And then sometime mid-year, something happened. I don't know if it was holidays towards the end of the year or what it was. But I started drinking a lot more and eating a lot more food and not doing any of that treadmill stuff. And I started feeling like shit. And like every year at work, we have this like 8-week, like kind of like a weight loss challenge, like a healthy challenge kind of thing. So I like went all out this last like month or so in anticipation of this 8-week weight loss thing where I'm like, you know what? I'm going to eat fast food every single day. I'm going to eat everything that I love. I'm going to go to every fucking fast food joint. I'm going to eat everything off of the menu that I want to eat.
You know, Travis is saying that like it's, you know, it's like living life like a crazy person.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that's just like, that's just what we do.
Yeah, that's Wednesday for me, dude.
Travis is like, whoa, I'm living on the edge, baby. And like, you look at the back seat of either of our cars, they're full of fast food bags every day, man. There's not a day that I don't. I had Steak and Shake today. I had,
Jack in the Box yesterday.
I had Hardee's today. I had a Frisco burger. It was fucking delicious. So good.
We had an extra large pizza with extra cheese and pepperoni, and then for a side dish, like 20 fucking hot wings smothered in hot sauce.
I like Hardee's advertising campaigns. I think Hardee's advertising campaigns are pretty much just, I fucking dare you to eat this and not die.
It's so much. It's, look how much shit we threw on top of this burger.
It's like, oh, you thought that last one was a fucking son of a bitch. Just wait till you see this one.
Hold on, let's get a hot.
It's a half a log of Velveeta cheese on the Monster Burger. The Monster Burger was bad, but we cut a log of Velveeta cheese in half and threw that fucker on there and melted that cocksucker into the fucker.
And then we just grabbed a fucking handful of pulled pork and threw that on there with some bacon!
Hold on, wait, guys. Did you show the hot girl eating the sandwich that never fucking eats that, or else she wouldn't fucking look like that?
After Kate Upton was done playing that MMO game on her cell phone, yeah, and stopped that fucking goddamn fucking burger.
Right, Kate. We're sure you're playing that game all the time.
She's licking the jalapeno fucking stack off of the burger before she takes a bite.
Well, we're getting too far away from what I wanted to talk about next. I wanted to talk more about NBC.
What'd they do to you?
NBC ordered a series from Tina Fey, wrote it, and it starred that Ellie Kemper chick. The later seasons of The Office, the chick that was the secretary, the little redheaded chick.
What is that show called?
It's called The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Yes, I hear it's supposed to be awesome.
Well, NBC orders a whole season of this show. They advertised this show's going to be on NBC. It's going to be part of our big... You know, NBC has always had their Thursday night comedy lineup, and this is going to be on their Thursday night comedy lineup. So after they originally said this is going to be on there, they reconsidered because they got the episodes, and the show is a chick is like in a doomsday cult, and like she leaves and moves to New York City. So like she's now experiencing everything for the first time.
It's like Breaking Amish. It's like they kind leave of, the Amish.
Kind of, yeah,
out.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yep. So NBC gets these episodes and they say, oh my God, these episodes are so far beyond like weird and incompatible with what we're used to. There's no way that we can put this on NBC because, you know, it's not the same bullshit. It's something different. It's something
Whitney.
It's not Whitney or
just
undateable or just shoot me or
what about
marry
Bob?
Me or whatever the fuck.
Right. It's something unique and different.
It's different with talented people. There's talented people.
Yeah, I mean it has a chick who has a track record. I mean she was in Bridesmaid. She was on many seasons of The Office. And Tina Fey, which, oh my God, Tina Fey, gross, get her away from us, right?
Oh my God, the track record of Tina Fey, are you kidding
right?
Me?
I mean, she's just throwing out bombs left and right? So,
30 Rock, that went for how many years?
NBC sells this whole season of this show that they've produced to Netflix.
That's what I saw, because I thought it was a Netflix original, and now I guess it is.
It is, yeah, because NBC is afraid that it's too different from what they're used to. So NBC, instead of having a Thursday night comedy lineup, which they've been known for since, Friends? Seinfeld?
Probably, yeah, Seinfeld and shit. Yep.
They don't have any comedies anymore. They moved The Blacklist to Thursdays.
And that's probably where Heroes Reborn will debut.
And they sold this show to Netflix. I mean, they're basically saying, we're tame and shitty, so let's take this original thing and sell it to somebody who can do something with it.
And the funny thing about that show, too, is it's, like, already critically acclaimed. Everybody who sees it says, what a great breakout performance for Ellie Kemper and how great this show is going to be. Like, that is one of the shows that I've seen, like, previews for, or at least just, like, blurbs about that I'm like, I'm very excited to see show. You know?
Did you ever know, like, a skinny little dweeb in high school and you just think, the first time this dude ever gets offered to get his dick sucked, he's probably going to run out of the room? That's probably what happened here. Some little nerdy geek almost got his dick sucked. He freaked out, ran home, started watching anime, and jerked off.
But it just, it freaks me out that this is, somebody is so afraid to put something on that isn't just the same thing and doesn't even take the chance. I mean,
it's because it's their job. They're a bunch of stuffy fucking business people that have no balls that are like, we can't take a chance because if this fails, I'm gone. You know what I mean?
But I mean, like, that Rainn Wilson guy has a new show that's going to be on this Thursday that's just House
As a cop. It's exactly what, that's the first thing that I saw when I saw that. I'm like, well, this looks really interesting. Like, Rainn Wilson has this weird fucking dickhead.
Right.
I'm
he's like, got this the, really he's good. Got the, I haven't shaved in 4 days yeah. look. He's mean to people, but he's not a doctor this time. He's a cop.
He's a cop. And that's what I was like, holy shit, this is Hugh Laurie, but it's Rainn fucking Wilson. This is House MD, but this is House PD. You know? What the fuck?
But I mean, like, is there like five shows that we can have? We can have a show where they solve murders by doing crime scene investigation on it and then finding the murder through some kind of, you know, fingerprint analysis or something. There's the shows where there's a guy who's really smart and can help the cops solve crimes. There's doctor shows. There's stupid romantic comedies with laugh tracks. And then
there's another show that is the same show as the first show you said about them doing forensic evidence, but in a different city.
Be like, same show, only different city.
Same show, Miami.
We didn't same even name the show something different. We just put a city at the end.
Oh, and maybe they can have specials where some drug addict moves from Chicago to Miami.
It's a crossover.
Yeah.
Crossover. They don't do that. They should do that more. Like, they should transfer to each other's units every now and then.
That'd be fun. They do that. The Flash just debuted this year on the CW, and Arrow's actually really good. I always kind of shit on those CW shows, but that Arrow show is actually really entertaining. And they just debuted the Flash this year that it debuted to, like, record ratings. And within the first handful of episodes, they crossed those shows over for, like, one episode each. And it was really good. I mean, it lived in the same world.
I don't think I could get into The Flash. Like, dude fights crime every week by running fast?
And then there's the anti-Flash.
Well, he's a forensic guy, and then also he can run really fast.
Oh, he solves crimes, too?
He does, yeah. He helps solve crimes.
He doesn't just run fast and fight people?
He was a forensic guy before he got struck by lightning and was able to run really fast.
So is he like a cop?
Yeah, he works for the police. He's like Dexter, kind of.
Does he run fast as a cop? Or is that a secret?
It's a secret. Like, only, well, in the show, more people know about him than they should. You know, like even Arrow, where this many people did not know that this guy was fighting crimes at night, you know, but now there's like 42 people that know these guys are vigilantes and somehow their secret is still safe.
Can I ask you,
Doom's going to run, going to destroy the world, Napier. I better run really fast.
Dr. Doom is Marvel.
I know. I couldn't think of a Flash villain. Wait, what's a Flash villain, Travis? Does the Flash have a nemesis?
Yeah.
Reverse Flash.
Yeah, he's in a wheelchair.
Are you shitting me?
Yeah, Reverse Flash. He's in a wheelchair. He can't run.
He's Mr. Glass.
Yeah.
Did you see they're going to kill Deadpool?
Yeah, I did see that.
You can't kill Deadpool.
They killed Wolverine. Not long ago.
I think Deadpool killed Wolverine.
Somebody told me the other day that Nightcrawler has already died and came back to life
and I missed the whole thing.
Yeah.
Apparently, Spider-Man's dead right now, and yep. Dr. Octopus is living in his body.
Yep. No.
Peter Parker's dead.
No, they can't. Nope. They switched it.
They switched it
That's
back.
That's all done. Yep.
Death just doesn't mean anything anymore, does it?
It doesn't mean anything like it did when Superman died. Like,
but when Superman died, he just came right back. And like there was like six Supermans.
It was like a solid year before the actual Superman came back, and that was still where it kind of meant something. And now it doesn't, because Captain America's been dead, Wolverine's been dead a couple of times.
Is Captain America already back?
There's been like four Captain Americas.
But now the Falcon is Captain America. Like,
oh, so the guy who was Captain America is still dead.
No, he died, he came back after Bucky Barnes, who died years ago, came back and was Captain America. Then Steve Rogers came back to be Captain America, and then now he stepped aside, now the Falcon is Captain America. And Thor is a lady now. It's all,
but
it's so convoluted.
So did Thor die and then came back as a lady?
Oh, and all the mutants lost their powers.
That was awesome.
Yeah, the mutants don't have powers anymore.
What do they do?
They're just dudes now.
Are they all still buff?
Nah, some of them. Most of them are just like ugly.
Huh?
They're just ugly dudes now.
But Travis, I mean, like, how can they keep killing people and anybody still care about it?
Oh, and don't forget Lady Wolverine.
Because we know they're going to come. I mean, nobody like saw the death of Wolverine and said, oh, Marvel's never going to bring back Wolverine. He's for sure dead.
Wolverine story. No, that's it's obvious. It's, you can still do it and have it be successful if it's done right. Like in the death of Wolverine was actually pretty entertaining. Like, you know, he's coming back because it's like a soap opera now. I mean, it's like the All My Children's and One Life to Live, where they died and their twin brothers came back, and then, oh no, the twin brother wasn't good enough, so now we're going to bring the actual person back. And we did this over 40 years. Well, Marvel Comics and DC Comics have been doing it for like 50, 75 years. So you can only do so much with the character, so let's kill him in an entertaining way and then bring him back somehow.
Don't forget Lady
Marvel
Wolverine.
Just announced today that they're completely rebooting their universe here after this summer, so who knows?
They're completely rebooting the universe?
They're merging the Ultimate line of comic books with the actual 616 line of comic books. So, like, the main universe is merging with the, you know, the Ultimate line, where they, right now there's like a Latino slash black Spider-Man.
So will, like, some of them be one person and some of them be the other person, and like,
I would imagine,
has nothing in the past mattered? Will it be all new stuff?
What I would imagine that is going to happen is they're going to keep the best parts of both and then either merge them or just have multiple characters running around. Like, Miles Morales, who is the Ultimate Spider-Man right now, is not going to take over for Peter Parker. I would imagine he'll just also be around, you know?
Yeah, like, so all the lady Spider-Womans too.
Yeah.
There will just be a whole team of Lady Spider-Women?
Yeah.
There's Spider-Woman right now. There's a gal named Silk, who's been in lockup for a lot of years. There's Gwen Stacy came back to life, but in a different universe. She's also Spider-Man now.
Gwen Stacy is Spider-Man?
She's called Spider-Gwen. She's got a new title coming out this month.
No.
Yeah, but it's a different universe, so it's like different multiverses.
And then there's X-23, which
is Wolverine's daughter, kind of.
So they took Wolverine's like DNA and said, what if Wolverine was a lady? And it turns out that Lady Wolverine has big titties and no dick.
Does she wear like skimpy outfits?
Yep,
tight.
Does she smoke cigars?
No.
She's young, lady, and dark-haired and hot.
And she doesn't have three claws. She has two on her arms, and she's got one in her foot and probably a vagina full of teeth.
I like the characters, and like, I certainly don't want them to die, but it seems like if you make the decision to kill one of them, you should stick by it. Otherwise, you lose all credibility.
Well, it's the Deadpool thing, it's all a big claim that Marvel is killing off all of these characters because Fox/Sony own the rights to their characters in the movies. So, like, we're not going to promote the other company's movies with our comic books. So Fantastic Four is ending before that shitty reboot of the Fantastic Four comes out this coming year. which looks fucking terrible. I mean, I haven't seen any production stills or anything, but just the concept of it just seems fucking awful.
As long as
I haven't seen anything about it. Has there been trailers for it and stuff? I haven't seen one thing about the Fantastic.
No trailers or anything. No,
I know that.
Hard pressed to.
I know that the brother and sister are both of different races.
Yep. And Dr. Doom is no longer like this weird ruler of Latveria or whatever. He's like some weird hacker kid that becomes
Dr. Doom's a hacker?
Yeah, it looks fucking... It just sounds... Maybe it's going to be great. Maybe it's going to be the best movie I've ever seen, and I'm fucking wrong. But it sounds terrible. It sounds fucking terrible.
Speaking of fucking hackers...
Yeah.
You seen the previews for this movie coming out with Thor that he's a hacker? It's called Black Hat.
It looks fucking ridiculous.
Doesn't that dude just look way too dumb to be a hacker?
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at him, when you hear him talk, he just looks like a big dummy.
You know,
I mean,
what
I guess the ladies like him and stuff, but I mean, when I think of a computer hacker, I think of a guy that looks like Travis with glasses.
Yeah.
I think of Thor. Thor ain't a hacker.
You know,
Thor
what?
Is a big guy that swings a hammer and takes his shirt off. Thor ain't hacking no computers.
Mike, if I've got two passions, number one, it's coding in Linux, and number two is working on my guns. Get my gun show on. I got to get my veins popping.
I just imagine a Thor movie being like, I just imagine a Chris Hemsworth computer hacker movie being like, there's files in the computer. I'll get the files out of here.
I wouldn't believe him if he was in a racing movie and he was using one of those manual transmissions that he knows what third is.
I'm fine with him being an action star. Put him in action movies. Fine. He's fine.
I enjoyed his version of the Red Dawn. I thought that Red Dawn
I didn't see it, but I imagine it was probably fine.
I thought it was a little over the top.
But
it was a little ridiculous.
But don't you try to sell me Chris Hemsworth as a goddamn computer hacker.
Well, and then it's not even a hacker movie. They talk about we need code name Black Hat, and then it's like big buff dude, and then they instantly cut to like weird scenes of him running through crowds with a gun, plugging fucking bad guys in the head, jumping over fucking cars and shit. It's like this fucking dude is not a hacker. When did he find time to learn how to jump over a fucking Buick Century when he was coding this fucking computer? You know what I mean? Give me a break.
He did it with, like, science and, like, you know, he studied his geometry, so he knew, like, the proper, you know, propulsion that he needed to...
Oh, my God. If that was real, and if that was really a thing... And then, like, the movie was, like, him instantly, and then time slowed down, and then, like, this weird algebraic equation flashed across the screen as time slowed down, and then he, like, figured out exactly how to plant a foot to launch himself over that H2 Hummer and land and shoot that fucking dude in the head.
Like, do it
and
like
that
a...
Was the case? Fuck yes.
Do it like the fight scenes in the Sherlock Holmes movies when like he observes a whole bunch of different things.
And it's like a flash
like really quick. You know, because he's really smart. He's a computer hacker.
Oh my God, wouldn't it be great if he had like a bar scene where he's in there like trying to pick up the damaged girls to fuck him for a night? Just think about different things to say to get over their daddy issues.
Okay. But then, like, it's like the Terminator visor or the RoboCop visor where a bunch of shit's flashing on the screen so you can see what's going through his
head.
He's
got the Google Glass.
This one is, yeah, he's got Google Glass.
He looks up their face. He looks up their Facebook page. And
it's like pulling it up. It's like data coming from everywhere, and he's figuring out which one to target. And at first, it's this really hot blonde, but then a bunch of data comes up, and it shoots it down, and it goes to the brunette right behind her.
Q, pull up the medical history on this woman. According to her Facebook page, she just broke up with, you know, this guy, and, you know, she says that he was a player. And then, you know, he says something like, you know, oh, you know, I've been played before. She, me too.
Oh, look at this one. Doesn't look like daddy's around. Or, you know, fuck it, this one's hot, we're double bagging today.
Oh.
We're not recording, are we?
No, are we not?
Yes, we are.
Why is it not keeping up with us? That's weird.
Because you played around with the keyboard typing in random
shit. Can't
keep
up with this shit, yo. Try to keep up, computer.
Try to keep up with all we talking about, computer.
Yeah, shit, man. Hemsworth and hackers and shit. This computer can't keep up with us.
Well, the computer don't even know.
Do you remember that one movie with... Oh, shit. Now I forget his name. The black guy from The Green Mile, where him and...
Michael Clark Duncan?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's dead.
Yeah, he's dead, but he played like a computer genius.
No.
Alongside Sean Connery.
Michael Clark Duncan didn't play a computer genius.
Yeah.
Did that happen?
Yeah, he was like some computer genius, and Sean Connery and like Selma Hayek or some hot broad.
This movie doesn't exist. Travis, have you ever heard of this movie before?
I need more information. Keep going, Xavier.
Sean Connery gets this hot broad who looks kind of Latin to steal a painting from some...
Oh, Entrapment.
Entrapment, yeah. Is Michael Clark Duncan in that?
Yeah, he was the hacker guy, and he was so fast that the laptop from, like, 1994 couldn't keep up with him typing two words a minute.
Michael Clark Duncan's like, let me find the W.
I can only use one finger because they're so big.
There's a... Let me get the shift key here. This needs to be a capital.
No, control. You got. Wait. I think I need to press control first.
It was great.
Where the fuck's the semicolon?
The shot was looking up at Sean Connery and this Latin bitch, and he goes, "Look, he's so fast the computer can't even keep up with him." And he's doing what is essentially this. No shit, it can't keep up. No fucking shit.
I completely forgot about that part of that movie because all I can remember is Catherine Zeta-Jones in the peak of her hotness in that
going through
tight leather zip-up outfit.
Yeah, going through the lasers.
Yeah.
She was the first one to do that, and then they did it like 20 more times.
Everybody did it then.
Yeah. Any museum security system with the lasers, people can just do a dance through that like it's fucking nothing. I mean, if you're... in a movie, and you're like a jewel thief, those lasers don't mean shit.
Nope.
And of course, all museums have them.
Why do you have the laser things? Why don't you just have like a grid
that covers... Walk through this wall, and it goes off.
Yeah, I mean, why do you have randomized pointy laser things? Why don't you just have a wall of... You cross the wall...
It's a curtain.
Right.
It's a curtain of laser thing.
I feel like this is something we can get done.
I think this might be our money maker.
Sure, it's very difficult to get through the random pointed lasers. It would take the best. But it seems like there's so many the bests.
George Clooney would have been fucked if in Ocean's 11, 12, or 13 there was a fucking laser wall.
Just laser
they would have
wall.
Never been able to rip off those casinos.
No, they would have had the little Asian guy do it, you know, that stuffs himself into different tiny things.
But how would he get through the wall?
He shoot him out of a cannon. Like,
yeah.
Through the wall?
Through the wall.
Through the laser wall? went so fast out of that cannon that laser wall meant nothing.
See, what the casino didn't plan on was us murdering this little Asian guy through a wall.
I like the last one they did. I think like the heist depended on Julia Roberts pretending to be Julia Roberts, but like she was the actress Julia Roberts, like in the movie, so it wasn't really Julia Roberts, but she was pretending to be Julia Roberts, and it was like, you guys have run out of ideas.
It was all so meta.
You're like, Julia Roberts is pretending to be Julia Roberts, but she is Julia Roberts, and then Bruce Willis shows up, and he's Bruce Willis.
But he's not Bruce Willis, is he?
Bruce Willis.
Oh, yeah, he is.
He's Bruce Willis, who recognizes Julia Roberts, but not in the movie Julia Roberts. We're talking about in the movie Julia Roberts pretending to be real Julia Roberts.
Hey, Julia Roberts, it's me, Bruce Willis. Oh, you're not Julia Roberts? Your name is Tess? What? I don't understand.
I mean, can't we just say it's against the rules that if you're in the movie to pretend like the person that you actually are exists in your world because you're her?
Yeah, you can't.
If Julia Roberts is an actress in a movie, Julia Roberts doesn't exist in that world.
Yeah, you can't do, because otherwise, guess what? In that first movie, they'd have been like, holy shit, you know who you look like? You look like Julia Roberts.
Wouldn't just everyone at all point of the day,
everyone
would just say, you know, you fucking look a lot like Julia Roberts.
The first time Bernie Mac met her in the first movie, he would have been like, oh shit, you look like Julia Roberts.
And she'd say, oh, I've never heard that before. Be like, bullshit, you haven't. You hear that all the time.
Every day.
You look just like Julia Roberts.
Matt Damon would come in and be like, holy fuck, George Clooney. Your wife looks exactly like Julia Roberts.
I wish that was a new trend in movies, is every movie throughout the whole movie. Like if it's a Jason Bateman romantic comedy, just throughout the whole movie, every character, when they encounter him for the first time, say, does anybody ever tell you you look a lot like Jason Bateman? They're like, no.
Just random
they've
people
never
coming
told
to take
me that.
Pictures with him to say, hey, Jason Bateman, can I get a picture with you? I'm not Jason Bateman. I'm this guy that swapped bodies with Ryan Reynolds.
Actually, I'm Ryan Reynolds. They're like, no, you don't look like Ryan Reynolds. You look like Jason Bateman. They're like, no, I switched bodies with Jason Bateman. I'm actually Ryan Reynolds in Jason Bateman's body.
But not really Jason Bateman. This is just a guy that is a friend of mine. And I'm not really Ryan Reynolds. I just look like him.
Let's go watch a Ryan Reynolds movie on TV, and I'll stand next to it, and you can pretend, you can see how different we look. And then you go turn it on TV, and it's that movie earlier on.
Holy shit, Ryan Reynolds with Jason Bateman in his body. Do you realize you're dating a chick that looks exactly like Olivia Wilde?
I would like to think that Seth Rogen doesn't actually act. They just, like, film him throughout his day. And all of his friends just do wacky shit.
So he just...
They just cut a movie around that?
You know, that's what I originally wanted to do. I didn't want to do a podcast. I just wanted to film you in your day. But then I realized I was never going to be invited in your house.
Yeah.
And that would be a problem. I've never been in there, Travis. Known the guy for 20 years. I've never been in his house.
You've been in my house twice.
Well,
maybe are you a hoarder that is ashamed of his dead cats underneath your newspapers?
Do you have dead cats in your house?
No, I had one, but I buried it, remember?
Oh, yeah, you found it?
Yeah, it got
You
like,
thought it ran away, but it was really in your basement?
No, I didn't think so. What happened was the cat got spooked. It, like, ran into my room and then got spooked about something in my room, ran downstairs and killed itself. It, like, lost its shit on the way down to the basement, fell off the stairs, and then died.
It didn't land on its feet?
No, it landed on its neck.
No, cats land on their feet, don't they?
No, this one landed on a pot.
No, that's a shitty cat.
Yeah, it's dead. Of course it's a shitty cat. If it was a good cat, it wouldn't be dead.
Can we just all agree that dead cats are shitty kind of cats to
they're,
have?
Yeah, they become very shitty pets once they're no longer alive.
Yeah, they kind of smell like death.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I mean, it's been fun, but it's getting to be about that time, right?
I don't know. Have you
the
yelled
hour
at-
just flew by.
It flew by. I don't know about you, but it flew by.
It flew by. I mean, we should tell people to go to WFODicks.com, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Please go there.
Next week, we'll have the continuation of the saga of Detective Napier crime stories.
Did we do the thing that I requested?
What?
I had a specific actor in mind for old Napier.
Oh, yes. Oh, lines are already recorded. I could have had it this week, but I figured we should do it on an actual show, right? I guess this is an actual show, but you know what I mean.
Like a good one.
Yeah, right.
Travis.
Podcast month is coming up.
Yeah. If you want us to be on your podcast, and you would like to be on our show, or if you would like us to be on your show, WFODshow@gmail.com. Let us know.
Or at WFODX on Twitter, or at Produce Travis on Twitter.
Right, right. We are going to do as many podcasts as we can in the month of February. That's our goal. And podcast month is not an actual thing. It's something that we created.
Yeah, we
decided
it's our
podcast month. I don't think it's actual podcast month. I don't know when actual podcast. It's our podcast month.
Can we get somebody? Like, I'd like to get somebody to interview for the show for podcast month.
Who's that?
Well, it's I heard there's this new show on. It's about being manly. Don't really know. I the name is escaping me, but I think we should put feelers out.
You know what? There is a
is it like a manly hour?
There's yeah. There's a podcast show? That we are familiar with. I've never listened to it, but I'm aware of its existence. It's like friends of ours that just debuted a new segment this week. It's Ask Dr. James. That's their new segment. Ask Dr. James. So definitely participate in that, because that's a totally original concept. Which I'm not saying that they or anyone invented asking for questions on Twitter, but you name in your segment Ask Dr. James. That's it's kind of a little bit of a
Hey, remember when MTV ran that internet clip show and Tosh.0 totally ripped him off?
Right. No. I'm not saying it's an original idea. It's not. Nobody, I would say, really invented asking for questions on Twitter, but the name's a little suspect. I would say.
Well, the MTV show wasn't called Rob Dyrdek 0.0.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
You know what I mean?
That's true. You could have named it anything. You named it Ask Dr. James. And the only other thing that I want to say is if you're a company and you're going green and patting yourself on the back, cool, but don't just use that as an excuse to go be cheap. Like, I got some tea the other day.
Yeah.
And they said that they're not going to put strings on their tea bags anymore because they're going green.
Oh, motherfucker. But I know exactly what company you're talking about.
You know what, motherfucker? You don't put strings on your tea bags. How am I going to fish them out of my beverage after I'm done making the tea?
You should stick your fingers in that boiling hot water and pull it out.
So that's not going green. That's being cheap. You're being cheap. And you're patting yourself on the back and pretending like you're doing something special. You ain't doing shit. You're just making shit more complicated for me.
Maybe they're going green by having people not buy tea anymore.
The other awesome thing that companies do is they say that they're using 50% less plastic in their bottles. And guess what their bottles do? They don't stand up straight because they warp really easily because there's no fucking plastic to hold them to my table. I open it up. I put it down. It falls over immediately.
I can't
put
wait.
Put some plastic in that fucking bottle.
I can't wait for a company to come out and say that they're pre-cutting all the rings on their six packs of soda to save the turtles, and then you just wind up with cans going everywhere.
You try to pick it up, and they all just fall off.
And if anybody ever says anything, they just say, fuck you, we like turtles.
That's right. What are you, anti-turtle, you fucking heartless prick? Didn't you see that movie that Robin Williams was the penguin? He was choking.
Exactly. Oh, maybe the tea people can tie them all the little Coke cans together with their string that they're saving.
How much environment are you saving by taking
a
2-inch piece of string off your tea bags?
For every environment that you save, I will shit on too.
Aren't strings biodegradable?
Yeah. Every time that you take your string off of a tea bag, I have to use a spoon to get that fucking bag out. And then guess what I do with that spoon? I put it in my dishwasher.
And then you run your dishwasher and you waste a whole bunch of water.
5,000 gallons of water that runs through my dishwasher and also pumps a bunch of detergent through it and dumps it into my groundwater because I have a septic system. It doesn't go into the city. It goes and gets dumped into the fucking ground. So your goddamn teabag just costs the fucking groundwater some detergent time.
But do you know what happens, Travis?
Mm.
That's on you. That's not on them.
Of course it is.
So yep. They're not fucking with the environment. You are.
We went green. You fucked up.
You know what I used? I used a straw. And then I just threw that straw away.
Better. Yep. Every fucking tea bag you use. I had 3 cups of tea tonight. I threw away 3 giant straws.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. Speaking of 3 cups of tea, I got one of them Keurig things for Christmas.
Oh, yeah?
And so I've just been buying the cups like crazy because I want to try them. I want to find out which ones I like, mm-hmm. right? But now I got like 200 of these cups all over my house, and I don't know what to do with them all.
Drink them.
Travis, I bought 3 18-pack boxes today, and I wanted to try them. So I drank 3 cups of coffee today. And I'm fucking wigging out, man. I fucking got Kahlua coffee, and I got some Wolfgang Puck shit, and I got some vanilla shit. I drank all of them because I wanted to try them. I wanted to see if I like them. And now I got all these. The Wolfgang Puck one, not great.
Not good. That's hotel coffee. Like, you go to a lot of hotels, they have Wolfgang Puck.
Yeah, it was like, it was a Jamaican thing. It has, like, coconut in it or something. You mm-hmm. can't taste the coconut. It just tastes like coffee to me. I mean, it's fine. I'll drink it. But it's not my favorite. I won't buy it.
You got to watch out with those Keurigs too, man. Because the way that they're set up with the tubes and shit, bacteria builds in there. You gotta watch it. You can't clean that shit. Okay. I'll forward you a link.
Don't send me anything because then I'll read it and then I won't want to drink it anymore. And I got all these cups. I got to get rid of them all.
Let me know when you're done with the cups.
And I'm just gonna keep buying more. I got to try them all.
So, Mike, after drinking all that coffee, how's your shits?
I don't think I've shit in a while.
No, you probably haven't.
Does it make me not poop?
Sometimes, yeah.
What?
Or it makes you poop a shit load.
So it does one or the other?
Yeah.
I mean, I pooped this morning, I think. It was before I drank coffee.
Oh, I found out a magical concoction that will make you shit water for about 20 minutes.
Is it called expired food?
No, I bought me and lady wife, we made sushi over the weekend. So I bought like this giant can of that pickled pink ginger shit at the sushi restaurants.
Yeah.
And I mixed a shit ton of wasabi with my ginger, and then I poured a dick ton of soy sauce in it and mixed it all up. And then I wanted it cold, so I threw it in the refrigerator. Well, I forgot it. And the next day I looked at it, it's like, oh, this still exists. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take it out and I'm just going to eat it. And I ate it and then I started immediately shitting water.
If I could ask for one thing.
Yeah.
I'd like a picture of the inside of Napier's fridge. Just like open the door and take a picture and post that. I'm just curious.
Can you do that?
Yeah, I mean...
Well, don't fuck with it, though. Like, don't, like, set it up all nice. Like, I just want to see, when you go home, open the fridge and take a picture. I'm curious.
Did you want me to open the crisper door thingy so you can see inside there, too?
Yep.
I just feel like it's going to be like Pee-wee's Playhouse when he opened the doors and the oranges and shit started talking because they're kind of moldy.
Hi, Napier!
Hey, it's been a while since you looked at me.
You remember when you bought me when you thought you were going to get healthy? How'd that work out, buddy?
Yeah, me too. It's me, Lettuce. I thought you were going to eat me too, Napier.
Hey, guy. How's it going? I'm this apple you bought years ago. I'm still here. Still right here. Lives have come and gone. I'm right here. Ha ha. Fuck you.
I see you reaching for this pizza that's been in here for 3 weeks. Maybe how about me, Mr. Banana?
See you in hell, faggots.
want you to know it's over.
Well, bye.
Thank you for listening to this installment of the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. We are live every Monday night at 9, 8 central on Radio FUBAR. You can download past episodes on Stitcher, iTunes, or our website, wfodicks.podbean.com. If there's any kinds of thumbs or stars that you can click for us, we do appreciate it. It does help with the visibility of the show. You can follow us on Twitter at WFODix. You can follow Drunk at DrunkardSTL. You can follow Travis at ProduceTravis. You can also follow some of our favorite Napier quotes at Napierisms. We're on Facebook as well, facebook.com/WFODix. You can email us at wfodshow@gmail.com or leave a voicemail message at 314-266-WFOD. Radio FUBAR is on 24 hours a day with great content. RadioFUBAR.com. Check out some of the other shows. Let them know that we sent you. There are shirts available in their shop. You can also click the Amazon link that will take you to Amazon.com where you can do your shopping as normal. It does help the station. They do get a kickback. It costs you no extra to do so. Thanks again. We'll talk to you next week and tell a friend.
You connect, you lose control.
I can target anyone, anything, anywhere.
They're moving the money.
No fingerprints, no trace. No mercy.
What do we know about this guy?
Cyber criminal. Blew a reactor at Chaiwan, and that's just what we know about?
To catch this guy, we're gonna need a black hat hacker named Hathaway. He's a genius coder serving 15 years.
This job's hard, and if I do it, I should be out of the jail. Because it's hard, and I want to be out of the jail.
This isn't a negotiation.
Okay, then sandwiches. Oh, look at the little cursors. Emoticon!
The guy we're working will take out a city and not think twice about it.
Don't evoke 9/11 on me.
Stay down!
China. Now Chicago.
Can you crack it?
I can hit it with a hammer.
You get discovered, you're dead meat.
Do you know what your guy did?
You're no longer in control.
Hey, you bad guy, you stop!